God, for these gifts and these givers, we give you thanks. Add your blessing to them both and send them forth out into the world to proclaim your goodness. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our scripture this morning is from the first chapter of Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation, because all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the end, who is first born from among the dead, so that he might occupy the first place in everything, because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in him. And he reconciled all things to himself through him. Whether things on earth or in heavens, he brought peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Two options. You either follow my rules or follow my rules. Capiche?
Thank you.
I can do it a different way.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
And I want to... It's kind of strange that we keep running into each other.
Maybe it means something.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I think so. You could just write your own roles, you know, write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you going to do?
I have my own club.
Is that going to happen every time?
I think so.
Revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist. You're holding on to the past, but jazz is about the future.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm not. It's like a pipe dream.
This is the dream. It's conflict and it's compromise. It's very, very exciting.
craving for popcorn on Tuesday night, stop over at the house. We'll be popping it. Question. What holds it all together? I think that's the question that a lot of people are asking right now. Because it feels like our country, our world, our community is kind of pulling apart at the seams. You feel that out there? Watching the news, it feels like it's pulling apart. Watching your Facebook feed, I mean, it feels like it's pulling apart. So the question underneath it all is what? What on earth is holding it all together? In the midst of that question of what is holding it all together comes this film, La La Land. And maybe, just maybe, this film has something to tell us about what is holding it all together. The movie, on the surface, it's a very lovely love story. Amen? For those who saw it, nice love story, right? No, Natalia's not buying it. Not buying it. It's a beautiful musical. The cinematography is enjoyable. Maybe, just maybe, that's why it's titled La La Land, with the thing of in this world full of fragmentation for like 2 hours, we could just kind of melt away and forget about it. But there's something else going on in that film. Something below the surface, something that's holding it all together. What holds it all together? In order to kind of understand what holds it all together in this movie La La Land, which by the way had the most disappointing ending of the year, right? You saw the movie, right? I mean, I should really be preaching a sermon about what happens when the story doesn't end the way you want it to, right? It wasn't a bad ending, it just wasn't the ending we wanted, right? You know? So what holds it together in a world that doesn't always end up the way you want it to? What holds it together when things seem to be pulling apart at the seam? In order to understand that, you've got to understand something about the man who directed this film. This is Damien Chazelle. This is his third feature-length film, and the last two, including this one, have been nominated for Best Picture. And all three of his full-length films have to do with one subject matter that holds them all together, and that subject matter is jazz. All three of his films explore something about this uniquely American art form called jazz. This director clearly thinks we need to understand something about jazz. Or maybe it's the jazz that's holding it all together. Sebastian Wilder, a young, talented jazz pianist, deeply in love with the art form of jazz, devoting his life to its study, to its performance, trying to perfect it. There's scenes of him driving in the car, listening to a cassette tape, getting out and trying to play it, playing the record and trying to get it perfect, trying to copy the sounds that he's heard. He loves jazz and dreams of having his own jazz club someday, until Mia shows up and ruins it all. Love pops into his life. Mia, a small town girl, moved to Hollywood, hoping to make it big on the big screen. That's not a story we've ever heard before, right? They dance in and out of each other's lives for the next 2 hours on the screen. But there's this moment in the film when this young couple are beginning to like each other, beginning to fall in love with each other, that the confession finally has to happen. Mia confesses to Sebastian. She says, "I don't really like jazz." That's the day Bridget said to me, "I don't really like the Packers." And I had to decide if that was going to be a deal breaker. Right? So for this couple, this man who devotes his life to jazz, in love with this woman who doesn't like jazz, she says to him, "I don't like jazz because I don't get jazz. die. That's why he loved jazz. I talked to Caleb this week. He's my expert on all things, really. But all things music in particular, all things Star Wars. So I asked him, I said, talk to me about jazz. What makes jazz work? What holds jazz together? Is it the notes? Is it the chart? Is it the key? What holds jazz together? What keeps it from pulling apart at the seams? What keeps this ability to have all this space and this freedom and not have it all just fall apart or just rise up with a whole bunch of noise? What holds it all together, Caleb? It's not the notes, Pastor. And it's not the chart, and it's not the keys. What holds jazz together is the community, is the players, is the commitment they have to each other. You see, jazz is a community of trust, Jeff. It's a community that says, I will listen more than I will speak. Jazz is an art form that says, I will only lead after I'm willing to follow. Jazz is the community that says, you can improvise as long as you're willing to support. Jazz works. Jazz holds together because it is a community of trust. And I've been spending all morning verifying this with the people who play. You know how terrifying it is to preach about jazz in front of jazz people? I'm like, is this right? And they're like, yeah, you're getting there. Jeff, bass player, reminded me that jazz is more than the notes. Sure, you can play the notes. But jazz? It's about what's going on between us. That's what makes for good jazz. You know, in fact, playing, like, preaching about jazz in front of jazz musicians would be like kind of preach about football in front of the Lions. I feel like you probably learned something, right? I've been working on that joke all day. Sorry. Back to the sermon. All right. So if jazz is this great metaphor for life, then it's also a great metaphor for faith. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, you might have missed it because it comes off in all this scriptural types of language, but in it, Paul describes something that's very akin to what Caleb described in the jazz community, the jazz ensemble, the jazz that makes it work. Paul said that in Christ, all things hold together. He said, in Christ, all things find their space. He says, in Christ, all things are reconciled. Make harmony with each other. Paul describes a faith that is roomy, a faith that is spacious, a faith that holds together all these different pieces and parts, all these weird and dislocated pieces, and he fits them together. Faith can do that. Think about that for a minute. If Chaz and Paul are right, then faith has room for all different kinds of voices. If Chaz and Paul are right, then harmony can be created out of all different kinds of approaches. If Chaz and Paul are right, then we can blend traditions, both new and old. Did you catch it this morning? We were singing Beethoven to jazz. And they fed each other, the old and the new, combining into something that one couldn't be without the other. Paul says faith can do that. Jazz shows us how it can be done. Imagine a faith where listening is as important, if not more important, than speaking. Imagine a faith where there's room for you to lead, but there's also a need for us to collaborate. A faith like jazz is alive, and it's dynamic, and it's unpredictable. And just like that stupid film, it doesn't always end the way we want it to. Sebastian, this great lover of jazz, so loved jazz, he actually worshipped jazz, but he worshipped a certain kind of jazz, a certain period of jazz. He was a purist when it came to his jazz. There's no such thing as jazz purists, is there? No, not so much, right? You don't run into those folks. He said, this is the only way to do jazz. The way it was done by Miles Davis and John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk. If you want to do jazz, you do it like them. So he would listen to them and he would copy them. And he had no room for other voices of jazz to come into his life. He so worshipped jazz that he no longer let jazz be jazz. You get that? He no longer let the thing he loved be the thing he loved. It's a good thing there are no parallels to faith with that. Faith can get just as stuck as jazz can. We can confuse the form with its function. We can begin to think that the message, the style, the music, the sound, the look, the theology, all of that first brought us into love with Christ in the church in the first place, we can begin to think that that is what needs to be preserved and that's what needs to be defended. But Paul and Jazz remind us that there is, that in faith there is room and there is space and it is dynamic and it is changing and it is different every time and it doesn't always end the way we think it's going to end. I'm going to make a confession to you. My faith is different than it was 25 years ago when I first came back to the church. My understanding of God is different than it was 25 years ago. My understanding of Christ is different than it was 25 years ago. My understanding of salvation is different than it was 25 years ago. My understanding of church is different than it was 25 years ago. And if I was still trapped in where I was 25 years ago, I couldn't play the song that God is asking me to play. And I bet your faith has evolved differently over the last parts of your life. I bet you think differently about God. And I bet you think differently about the church. And I bet you think differently about salvation than you used to. And maybe, just maybe, you're waiting for the pastor to stand up finally and tell you that's okay. And then embrace a church that says it's okay to grow from the place where you first met God. That's what holds it all together. You see, as Sebastian loosens his grip on the understanding of jazz, only then does he let jazz be jazz, and only then does he let other styles and other approaches shape and transform his style. And only as he lets others shape and transform him is he ever able to realize the fullness of the art form that he loves. There's a character, Keith, in the movie, played by John Legend. He's the one that pushes Sebastian and says to him, relationships are like sharks. If they don't keep moving, they die. Jazz is like sharks. If they don't keep moving, they die. Faith is like sharks. If they don't keep moving, they die. The church is like a shark. If it doesn't keep moving, it dies. He reminds him, Keith reminds Sebastian, Monk, Miles, Coltrane, they were revolutionaries. How can you be a revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist? Which my friend Josh reminded me this week about the difference between tradition and traditionalism. Tradition, the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism, the dead faith of the living. We can be a church that does really good jazz. What holds it all together? Maybe, just maybe, this movie says that it's jazz that holds it all together. Maybe it's a faith that is roomy and spacious. Maybe it is a faith that everything finds its proper place without overcrowding. Maybe it's a space where all the broken, left out, weird, dislocated people, places, and things can come together and make harmony together in this world. You want to know what a jazz church looks like? A jazz church plays sacred music and rock music and folk music and jazz vibrant, and our rock music needs to be undergirded by a sacred tradition that goes back ancient and runs deep waters. You sang Beethoven today with a swing of jazz. That's what a jazz church looks like. So I want to invite you to come into a space that is alive and dynamic and evolving and open to possibilities, where I can't promise you how it's all going to turn out, because that turnout is like jazz and it is open every time a new player joins the band. A faith where listening is as important as all of our speaking, and a faith community where the community is the primary way we understand ourselves. Brothers and sisters, you play some jazz with me? Will you join this combo? The world is looking for what's holding it together. And if Caleb is right, and if Paul is right, and if jazz is right, the world needs communities of trust more than it needs just about anything these days. And that's why I'm going to invite you to this table. To this table, right here. I'm going to invite you to this communion space, where we're going to be reminded that all of us have a part to play, and all of us get to take a part with us. We remember that Jesus once took bread and broke it, and gave thanks to God for it, and said, "This bread is like my body, which I have broken, and I now give to you." And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God for it. He said, "This cup has got my spirit in it, and it's overflowing. In this cup is grace and mercy and peace, and I pour it out for you." So here today in this space, we say there's one bread, and there's one body, and all of us are interesting, unique parts in it. And this body can only play when you bring your voice to it. So today, come. Come to this table. Let me be perfectly clear. You are welcome here. You are invited here. Come to this table and participate in the communion. In a moment, I'm going to serve our servers over here. There's going to be three stations today in the middle.
Bye.
There's going to be the little cups. On the edge, there's going to be the chalices. All the bread is gluten-free. First, he's going to place a piece of bread in your hand, and you're going to tell you it's the body of Christ broken for you. If you want to take the little cup, you take it and drink it, and know that the Spirit of God is in you. If you are comfortable, moving to the side and dipping.